Hi, hello from isolation. I'm so sorry that I can't be with you in person today, but we are going to spend some time thinking about the next little section of Colossians. And I particularly today want to tell you what this part of Colossians has in common with reality TV. You probably noticed there's an extraordinarily long list of makeover shows on TV, The Biggest Loser, all about losing weight. Extreme Makeovers, all about plastic surgery. If you're not into those though, there's others. You can make over houses, House Rules, The Block, Backyard Blitz if you wanna make over your garden, Pimp My Ride if you wanna make over your car. But the one thing they all have in common is the big reveal at the end. The before shot and the after shot, the old and the new. Where we started and where we've ended up. The transformation, the before and after, it's what they've all got in common. And that is exactly what this part of Colossians is. It's a before and after picture, a before and after transformation. It's specifically a before and after of people who belong to Jesus. The before is before we knew Jesus, what we once were, what we once looked like. The after is now, what we now look like, who we now are. The change is massive. Colossians, remember, Colossians is a letter written to Christians, just a church in a place called Colossae, like we're a church in Bathurst. And this little bit of the letter reminds those Christians in Colossae of what they once were before they knew Jesus and what they now are now that they know Jesus. The transformation is stunning. Now they know Jesus, they're almost unrecognizably different, and it's really good. But the before picture is really terrible. This letter, it's written by the Apostle Paul. The section we're reading today, it's just 3 verses long. The Bible is a collection of lots of different books, lots of different letters, and each one of those books or letters is divided up into chapters and verses, makes it easy for us to locate different places. Today we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and it just so happens that the three ideas in this paragraph fall neatly into the 3 verses of this paragraph. Verse 21 is the before picture, what the Colossian Christians once were. Verse 22 is the after picture, what the Colossians now are. And verse 23 starts with the word if. Verse 23, as we'll see in a moment, makes it clear that this transformation is before and after. It's all about Jesus. Let's start with the before picture. Paul says to the Colossians, have a think about this. This is what you once were. So I hope you've got your Bible there. Have a look. Verse 21. Paul says to these Colossian Christians, you were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. That's what they once were. That's what it looks like when someone doesn't belong to Jesus. It's only a few words, but it paints a very bleak picture. Alienated. Completely separated from God, total strangers to God. I read about a 16-year-old boy in Mexico. Just this past week, he was reunited with his mum. See, just a couple of hours after he was born, way back in 2005, he was stolen from the hospital. 16 years he spent alienated from his own parents. Never experienced their love, never held in their arms, kissed, hugged. He missed it all. That's what these Colossians are to God, what they once were to God. Never felt God's goodness, never sensed how much God loves them. Missing out on God's kindness, missing out on God's generosity, not even knowing God's power and authority and supremacy, completely disconnected from God. No concept of being made by God, no concept of how to best live the life that God's given them. Alienated. They were also once hostile in mind, meaning they didn't really want to know God. it was on them. The hostility came from them, which you might not ever feel like you've been hostile to God, but it's as if we've ignored and walked away from loving parents ourselves. If God made us and owns us and loves us, then even to just go on living and ignoring God, that's hostility. And that hostility shows in the way that the Colossians once acted. Evil deeds. You know, we humans have a total inability to do right by each other. That's very clear when we look at the world around us and we see there's greed and we see selfishness. It leads to manipulation and discrimination and disadvantage and even violence and war. We love to be outraged about that, but if we're honest, that stuff's going on in us. The scale might be a little different, but the same selfishness, the same greed, dissatisfaction, impatience and anger, whatever else, we know we've got it too. It's an inability for us to honor God. Because we don't want to make life about him. We want to make it about us. That's the picture of someone before they belonged to Jesus. It's like I was at a wedding reception once. It was up on Mount Panorama. The view was stunning. The weather was perfect. The food was amazing. But I didn't know anyone. I was there. I didn't really have anyone to talk to, sitting at a table with a bunch of strangers. That's how a lot of people live, though. As far as they can tell, life looks like it's going really, really well. The weather's great, the view's very good, all good on the surface, but under the surface, well, they're actually alone because they don't know God. I wonder, does that sound like you? Paul's description of what the Colossians once were, does that sound like you? Which you might be fine with. Maybe you don't like the idea of God. Maybe the idea of God even makes you angry. You don't want anyone telling you anything about how you should live your life. Maybe you think the idea of God is dangerous and damaging and you're really happy calling yourself an atheist or at the very least calling yourself a non-Christian. You're happy not knowing God. You want to keep it that way. You might be reading this and thinking, look, this is all a bit much. It's probably not true. And so this doesn't worry you particularly. Just come with me at least to see that according to the Bible, you're alienated from God, just like the Colossians once were. And that's not a good thing. Then again, look, you might be here and you're fine with the idea of God. You might even say you do believe in God. It's just that he's never really made any difference to how you live. I guess like a gym membership that you never use. You've got it, but it's never made you fitter, it's never made you healthier, stronger. God's there, but never made any difference to your life. Maybe that's you. You've grown up in a family that comes to church. You even have lots of Christian friends, but you still live life with your priorities and your agenda, and your needs are what's most important. You wouldn't give up that agenda for God. Still a stranger to God, still alienated from God and missing out. Look, the good news is that's just the before picture. That's what the Colossian Christians once were. It's in the past and it doesn't have to stay like that. It's not who they now are. Who they now are is very different. Whereas once they were strangers to God, now they've been brought back to God. They've been reintroduced. Paul calls it reconciled. Because it's more than being reintroduced. It's actually going from hostility to friendship. That's what the Colossian Christians are now. Not God's enemies, but God's friends. In fact, God's family, his dearly loved children, his adopted children. Imagine if somehow Russia and NATO could right now go from hostility to friendship. That'd be amazing. We'd love to see that kind of reconciliation. That's the kind of reconciliation that would save lives. There'd have to be some sort of deal worked out for that kind of reconciliation to happen. I can't imagine what that deal would be. But the deal that reconciles us to God is spelled out for us here. It's the death of Jesus. Jesus' death has paid the price for our hostility. Jesus' death has paid the price for our sin. And that's what Paul says in verse 22. That's where it all happens. Verse 22, it's what the Colossian Christians now are. It's the after picture. So I'm going to read from verse 21 again, but this time through to verse 22 as well. Paul says, "You who were once alienated and hostile in minds, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Reconciled by his death. One death in the place of another. Jesus' death is the way back to God. Notice the things that Jesus' death does. First, it makes us holy, Paul says. Sometimes people think being holy means being really good. Like a holy person walks around with an angelic halo above their head, or at least maybe that's the way God sees them. That's not holiness. Holiness is being different. Not different by acting a certain way, but different because we belong to Jesus. Not doing things or looking down on people so as to seem holy, but actually being special to God. Being especially chosen by God. That's what makes someone holy. Not only holy, blameless too. All those evil deeds that come from hostility toward God, well, now the Colossian Christians are brought back to God and reconciled to God, and all those evil deeds are wiped away. You know, it's like when you've just cleaned your windows. You can't see a single smudge or a streak anywhere. It's perfectly clean. All that sin wiped away, and that makes us above reproach. Or your Bible in verse 22 might say free from accusation. It means the same thing. Once reconciled, you can't be accused of anything. All the sin, all those evil deeds are gone. Which is not to say that once you belong to Jesus, you never do anything wrong. And it's not to say that once you belong to Jesus, you can do whatever you want and no one can ever call you out of it. It's just that, incredibly, once you belong to Jesus, all the sin you do, which, let's be clear, God hates sin. He hates the way we reject him and choose wrong instead of right. He hates it so much, our sin means we deserve judgment. You know, we hate it, don't we, when we see people do horrible things and get away with it? Well, God doesn't let it happen. It's just that once we belong to Jesus, Jesus takes our punishment. Our sin, amazingly, our sin is absolutely, altogether, entirely, unconditionally forgiven. And so now, no one can ever say you're not good enough for God. No one can ever say God can't or God won't or God doesn't want to love you or hasn't done enough to love you. It means you don't ever have to doubt, like maybe you've done too much wrong for God to love you, or think you haven't done enough right for God to love you, like you haven't tried hard enough. You just can't say that. You're free from accusation. And all of that is because Jesus' death so perfectly deals with sin. Belonging to Jesus means his death covers over all your sin, brings total forgiveness so as to reconcile you to God. And this is the now for the Colossian Christians. Whatever they once were, this is the transformation. Once alienated, now reconciled. And of course, this is true for anyone who belongs to Jesus. Everyone who belongs to Jesus. If you're sitting here today and you belong to Jesus, this is you. This is you. This is your now reality. If it isn't you, it can be. All you need is Jesus. It can be if you trust in Jesus. And that's the if that comes in the last of these three verses in verse 23. If you trust in Jesus. It's really very little, in fact, nothing at all about what we do. It's all about trusting Jesus can rescue you. Trusting Jesus can reconcile you to God. And if you stick with that trust in Jesus, and if you don't go wandering off away from that gospel message, you're all good. Have a look at verse 23. Verse 23, it says that Jesus has reconciled us in his body of flesh by his death in order to present us holy and blameless and above reproach before God. And here's verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. or servant. Your Bible might say servant. Minister means servant. That's because Paul's given his life to proclaiming the gospel, telling people about Jesus. If you continue in the faith, which just means if you trust Jesus all the way, this transformation is yours. I mean, imagine you're on a flight. I don't know, maybe you're flying from Sydney up to Brisbane. Things are going well. It looks like you're going to arrive safely and on time. But with a half hour to go, still 35,000 feet up, you call a flight attendant over and you say, "Hey, thanks. This has been great. But look, I think I'm all good from here. If you would please just open the door, I'm going to step out." You'd be crazy, obviously. That's what Paul's saying about Jesus. It has to be Jesus all the way. Don't move on from the gospel. Never move on from Jesus. Because it's Jesus' death and it's Jesus' resurrection and it's nothing else that reconciles us to God. So don't move away from Jesus. There's nothing to be gained from that and everything to be lost. If you belong to Jesus, you want to spend the rest of your life moving closer and closer to Jesus. And no one's ever going to come along offering anything better than Jesus. No one will ever be more impressive, truly more impressive than Jesus. We want to hold tight to Jesus and only Jesus. That faith is precious. It reconciles us to God. This after picture, it's just a picture of what it is to be a Christian. To be a Christian, to belong to Jesus, it's to trust Jesus, to deal with sin, to bring you to God, and then let Jesus set the direction of your life. It's not necessarily the easy life. It's very clearly the best life. So look, Paul's writing to Christians. He's writing here to people who do now belong to Jesus. If you're here and that's you, if you're one of these people in the after picture, you know, you're deeply in love with Jesus and the safe and secure hope he gives. If that's you, hear what Paul says, hold that tight and never move on from it. You'd be crazy to treasure Jesus, the way he's brought you back to God. It's worth celebrating. It's worth being very, very thankful for. I wonder if one good way of demonstrating our appreciation for Jesus is to do what Paul does and be servants of Jesus' gospel agenda by talking about the gospel, talking about Jesus, proclaiming Jesus. Because if this reconciliation is as good as Paul says it is, then we're going to want to talk about it. I mean, I used to never shop at Aldi. Then I had a friend who was always going on and on and on about how good Aldi is. And so I tried. I gave it a go. I discovered it's cheaper. I discovered the food's better. No one at Aldi ever asks you annoying questions about frequent flyer points. Did you know in 2021, Aldi was rated number one in Australia for customer satisfaction? I'm just saying. I'll happily tell anyone how good Aldi is. If we're satisfied with Jesus, if he is as good as Colossians so far has told us he is, and I think he is, how can we not tell people about him? Why wouldn't we want people to know? Why wouldn't we want to invite people to experience that same sort of transformation and reconciliation? Look, if you're here and you're looking at these two pictures, the before picture and the after picture, and you're the before picture, if you're a stranger to God's kindness and goodness, but if you're interested in the connection and the confidence and the joy of not being alone, if you'd rather at least think about being a dearly loved child of God and not an enemy or a stranger, well, again, here's the good news, you can. Or look, if you've been not really continuing in your faith, you've not really been valuing the hope of the gospel by living for Jesus, it's not too late for that either. Let me suggest doing just the really simple thing of talking to the person who invited you here to church today. Or look, if you just came here because to visit, to check out BPC, just chat to whoever's sitting next to you right now after the service. I reckon chances are they'll be really happy to talk to you about what they once were, and what they now are, now that they belong to Jesus. Or you can even grab a copy of this book. It's called The Essential Jesus. Grab a copy from the foyer. It's free, and it's just the story of what Jesus did to reconcile people to God. Once we were alone and alienated. Now we're deeply loved and reconciled. And it's all because of Jesus. I'm going to pray. I'm going to thank God for that. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you particularly for his death in the place of ours. Thank you that his death wipes away our sin and reconciles us to you, brings us back to you, to know your love and your goodness, your affection and your kindness. Father, please help us to see very clearly the joy and the privilege and the wonder of belonging to Jesus, the rescue and reconciliation that that brings. Father, help us to see how good that is. Amen.